Grace, mercy, and peace be ours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thirty years ago, my parents came home from a trip from Hawaii, and I got a t-shirt. And you know what the t-shirt said? Wish you were here. Nope, I don't think so. It said, "Here today, gone to Maui." Maui being one of the islands in Hawaii, right? Well, at the time, I didn't know that wasn't the original saying, and I was really impressed with it. It was my favorite shirt. I loved it. "Here today, gone to Maui." I'd laugh. I had no idea what it meant. But now I do. And of course, "here today, gone tomorrow" is one of those sayings we use, you know, when something is about to be gone. Like, "Hey, there's apples at the farmer's market. Here today, gone tomorrow. Better get them while you can," right? "Here today, gone tomorrow." However, that is not the original meaning of the phrase. And for that, you can look to John Calvin, someone that Martin Luther knew. He was part of the French Reformation, not the German Reformation. But he said in a book in 1549 called Life and Conversation of a Christian Man, "This proverb that a man is here today and gone tomorrow." It was a statement about life and death. Every generation faces this dilemma. Every generation has to have an answer. And so we must struggle with it too. Here today, gone tomorrow. Because of God's self-disclosure, meaning He's revealed Himself in His Word, and we have an answer, a foretold hereafter. This world that we live in, like Tammy playing the prelude, this world is a prelude for something more, isn't it? A life and a world that comes. But the more, which may be good, or maybe bad, seems dependent on the here today. Without a knowledge or a care or a work or something done today, we don't really know about tomorrow. There may not even be a tomorrow. What must we do to make sure tomorrow is wonderful, not woeful? A man asked Jesus in our text today, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice the part Jesus focused upon first. "Good teacher, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Do you suppose the man thought Jesus was good, as in good enough to be asking him theological questions, or good in a way that only God is good at being? If it was the latter, why would you pose the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why not ask, "Oh, good one, what will you do for me? Is there anything good that you are able to do so that I, a poor miserable sinner, might inherit eternal life?" And that's the real problem. This man didn't think Jesus was necessary in order to have a good tomorrow. He thought of himself as being good enough by his own obedience to God. Such was revealed when Jesus continued saying, "You know the law, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not defraud anyone, honor your father and mother." And then the man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." At this point, The man revealed that he was a liar. For he may not have murdered outwardly, but we know from the rest of the Gospels that Jesus says, if even if a man thinks hatred on his neighbor, if he thinks evil, if he commits murder in his heart, he's committed murder. If a man looks upon a woman lustfully, he's done what? Committed adultery in his heart. And I wonder, if we asked his parents, have you always honored, has he one that always honored his father and his mother? Was he obedient in everything he did? I wonder if the same answer would have been, all these he's kept since his youth. I doubt it. You see, this house of cards that this man has in his own mind, it begins to tumble. If any man after Adam were to be honest, he'd confess, no one is good except God alone. Only then could one see that Jesus, being both God and man, is truly good. Not just in his perfect obedience to the law, but in his gracious gift that he brings to sinners, which is his righteousness, his innocence, his blessedness, his forgiveness of sins that he bestows through faith in him. Purchased and won on the cross for you and for your salvation. Not something you earn or deserve by your obedience, which is faulty and isn't perfect, but something that he gives because he is gracious. To prove that this man's sense of righteousness and goodness were out of place, Jesus says, you still lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have, all your possessions, and give all that you have to the poor, and then come follow me. The man who only wanted to hear from Jesus from the start that he was good enough, good to go, learned a very hard lesson. He went away disheartened, it said in the text, because he had great possessions and he didn't like Jesus' prescription. If only the man could have realized by the Spirit that Jesus wasn't prescribing something that the man had to do, but something that Jesus is and is doing. Jesus is on earth selling and giving away all that he has. Jesus is giving everything away, himself even his own very life, in order to save the rich and the poor and everything in between. If only the man realized, in his own words, when he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That the answer is nothing. In order to inherit anything from a good God, a good man has to die. This good man has to be your father and your friend, favorably disposed towards you, to give you his possessions upon his death. And that's what God is doing in Jesus. That's what Jesus has now done. What might you do to inherit eternal life? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you have life in his name. Not just good enough for Bible Q&A. He's not just good enough for a laugh here and there. Not just good enough as a moral teacher to follow his example. Or good for an hour on Sunday mornings. But good as God himself in human flesh here on earth. Good in a way that no one on earth can be. Because none of us keep the law as we ought, not in the way that he has kept it, nor sacrificed himself the way he has to save his brothers and sisters, to save them by grace. Good, because he is gracious in giving you all things. All that you need for here today and for there tomorrow. Believe and it's yours.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.